Let's begin now.
Wednesday evening. Fair warning. I'm a little ornery tonight. And I always admit my flaws because I'm honest and I try to stay humble. But tonight I'm ornery. So I feel like, and I know Chris probably has the same sort of vibe, that there's going to be some topics tonight that are going to get people a little cranky. The heat might be getting to you. The roller coaster Royals ride might be getting to you, but it's NBA draft night. The Royals are getting everybody on like a sense of like, it feels like every Royals fan is trying to quit smoking and they're on day three. But I'm feeling ornery. And I know there's a lot of you out there in your car tonight because I saw you driving today. Seemed like you were all tuned into radio. Maybe not satellite. Probably satellite. But it is after hours. We are here till 9 o'clock tonight, Wednesday evening, off the rest of the week because the Royals and the Guardians, they're going to play a 4-game series. But I'm gonna be up and honest with you, man. I'm a little ornery because I feel like I am in a position that I can't get out of, and I'm okay with it. Because we've been talking all summer and spring about the Royal Caribbean cruise ship. 913-586-7610. Chris Nucero, Dusty Likens with you. It is summertime, sports radio. We're going to have some fun. We're going to give you some insight. We're going to give you some Chiefs talk, Royals talk. We're going to talk a little Bronny James. And I know nobody cares, but that's not my job. Chris, how was Chicago? I have to ask.
It was pretty cool.
You got a bucket list of mine. You got Wrigley Field.
I enjoyed it. I did get to go to Wrigley.
Is it everything they say and that it is, or is it more of like you get there and you're like, this is it. All right. This thing is from 1906.
It's definitely from 1906. It was 1914.
Sure, yeah.
But yeah, it looks like a stadium that was built in 1914.
Okay.
It is not it's a place. I think if you're like a big baseball fan,
yeah,
and you want to like go see some of the, you like, you appreciate the history of the game, sure, or whatnot, it's definitely a place to go. But man, it is, I like Kauffman better.
Yeah.
I'll just say that. I like Kauffman better. And I'm very much kind of a futurist type of person.
Mm.
And so walking around that place was weird because it was, wait, they don't have an outfield experience like we do here.
No, they just have Ivy.
And it's very, the concourse is a little cramped.
I'm
like
sure.
You walk around here.
What's
like
that
this,
hole? Probably 30,000?
Not
counting the people
it's
that
over
sit
40.
Back?
It's over 40.
Okay.
It's over 40. But like, they have a lot more seats out in the outfield area.
Mm.
And their lower level is a lot larger. Like their upper level's pretty small compared to like Kauffman. So it's a cool place to watch a game, but like the way that it's designed is not the most attendee friendly.
Yeah.
Like everything's pretty low setting compared to like where you'll be at if you go to Kauffman or Arrowhead, where everything's kind of inclined. So there's not really like a bad view in the stadium.
Mm-hmm.
There's some bad views there. And so again, it's a stadium that was built in 1914.
First time in Chicago?
Yes.
All right, let's see if we can knock some things out here. The cliche Chicago trip. Went to the Bean.
We did, but they had it.
Still went.
They had it fenced off.
They had the Bean covered?
Yeah, it wasn't covered, but it was like fenced off around.
So you couldn't do the touch?
No, couldn't. They were working on like the concrete pedestal that it's on.
Just terrible.
So
timing.
Yeah, it was not a good time to go
deep
see
dish
that.
Pizza.
Yeah, right after.
Got to do that. Okay.
That, yeah.
Actually, Wrigley Field?
We literally like walked down the street to Giordano's.
Okay. No Illuminati's.
We went over there, yeah.
Oof, Illuminati's, man. That's a good one there. I know you went to the United Center, so I'm not going to put that on there.
We did not go to the
But you saw the Jordan statues?
No. No, we went to the We went to the Chicago Sports Museum, which is over there at the Water Tower with Harry Caray's and whatnot.
Yeah.
Harry Caray's is really cool.
Nice.
A lot of cool memorabilia there. And then we went through the Chicago Sports Museum, which is really cool. Like, nice. If you ever in Chicago and you haven't been there, it's really cool.
You
it's
just
like,
Uber everywhere?
No, we
or you
just
drove.
We walked most of it. We walked and we took the L because it's really convenient for getting around. So we didn't Uber anywhere. We didn't drive anywhere. It was literally just on foot or the L.
Okay. Well, I'm glad you had fun. It's always fun to go to Chicago or summer trips.
Yeah, it was hot as hell though. Like,
I thought we might have seen the proposal.
It was hot as hell, man.
I thought there might have been a lake shot of you on a knee with the lady. No, I'm happy for you guys. That's fun. But let's get into this. 913-586-7610. You just listened to Carrington Harrison on the drive. Before that, you listened to Josh Verner. I'm honest with you, Kansas City, because I want to know. I'm giving you one opportunity, because I really don't know where we're at. I don't know where we're at with Royals fandom right now. And you know that this Carnival Cruise Line that I'm the captain of, I ain't getting off this ship ever. But I'll give you the opportunity. Because there's some people out there that I've talked to in the last couple days, they've lost optimism. This team's just exactly what I thought they were going to be. This team's exactly what I told all of you back in May. Just you wait. It won't be able to keep up. I'm sorry. But I feel like they just won 2 out of 3 against Miami. There's just a very thin line of where people expect and don't expect. 913-586-7610. The opening segment is yours. It was half Chris's because I hadn't seen him in a while, and he's a good friend of mine. I want to make sure he had fun in Chicago. Hey, don't. The other half is to you. Do you want to get off this cruise? Do you want to leave the cruise ship? Are you done? I've got a lifeboat on the side. It'll get up to at least 20,000 people. It's a big lifeboat. You can get off. And you could either say, you know what, I'll just enjoy the rest of my summer. I'll just watch from afar. I'm this damn close to seeing Patrick Mahomes throw a football in St. Joe. It's fine. They got me far enough. I'm done. Or you could say, hell no, Dusty. I'm still rocking the cruise ship. I'm still with you. I'm still going. I'll be with you whether this thing sinks or finds playoff land. Batman, let the people know.
Usually I'm busy fighting crime or cheering for the Chiefs, but I guarantee you that I stop every time this pitching staff, anybody from this pitching staff gets out on the field. I'm with you, Wolf, Dusty, Wolf. You know I'm with you because this team has potential, unlimited, and they've been through a high and low this year already. And I guarantee you this next series here with Cleveland, it's going to tell you what we can look for the rest of the year. And I hate to do it, but I'm going to, I got to cheer for this Royals team because I love to see them put that blue on, the boys in blue. We're definitely viable. We're contenders. We're relevant. And that's about all the bats got to say for this day. But you know that I will always listen to you, Wolfman. Later.
Batman, thanks for the call. Keep fighting crime in this city. Today, Bobby Wood Jr., triple. Vinny Pasquantino, game-tying RBI single. Salvador Perez, go-ahead RBI double after a Blanco steal. Nick Lofton, RBI single. MJ Melendez, RBI or a single. Hunter Renfro, walk. Freddie Fermin, your favorite player, two-run single. Held scoreless for 7.2 innings. The Royals offense put together a 5-run, 2-out funk-busting rally. That's from your boy, Jake Eisenberg, who does play-by-play for this wonderful ball club in Kansas City. We move on to Allen in KC. Do you want to stay on, or do you want to take the lifeboat and just sit from afar? Allen, go ahead.
Hey, how y'all doing?
We're great. How are you, sir?
Good. I've been a fan since I was a kid. I've always been on the boat, never going to get off the boat. So if you're on with us, let's roll. If not, then good riddance.
All right. Thank you for the phone call, Allen. I thought we were going to get a cuss word at 6:09 on a Wednesday. I thought we were this close to getting a you can get the F off.
I was ready to dump it.
Okay. You had that middle finger on the dump?
Yeah, I was ready to dump them.
Okay. But I mean, today was fine, right? Like, I'll be honest with you. The offense is clearly in a funk. But these are sort of things that you like to see today, right? Two outs. What makes you wake up more than having two outs? Back to back to back to back. Success. That's what you want. It sounded nice. It was great. And you won 2 out of 3. You're still in contention. I ain't though.
Big lead. Blanco at second. Line shot up the left field line. Fair by less than a foot. Blanco scores. Salvi racing for second. Royals lead 2-1.
Salvador Perez, all he does is strike out under pressure. How's Nick Lofton doing?
Royals with two here in the bottom of the eighth. And a liner into left field. That's going to drop for a hit. Salvador going to score. Here he comes. 3-1.
This ship keeps on sailing. And who'd have thought that this guy just keeps being a surprise conductor of this ship?
Lined over shortstop. Extra runs. One run is in. Two runs are in. Another man racing to third. And the Royals have blown this game open. Vermeen, two-run single.
So again, there's a lot of you out there, and there's a lot of you also out there that are still riding this wave, that are still having fun with this season because you stuck with what your expectation was, which was, Dusty, all we want is just competitive baseball all throughout summer. I think a week from tomorrow is 4th of July, and the Royals, depending on what the Twins do tonight, and Boston, can sneak right back into that playoff picture. And it's very close. Brett, Lawrence, you're all right. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hey, yeah. So I was at the game today, and, you know, I got the holiday pack, so I've got 10 games I can go to, whatever, and I went with three of my friends today, and it was fun because I've gone twice where I sat there and said, you know, at the end of the eighth, if they don't score with two outs, we're going to leave. And every time I'm on the way out, I sit there and wait, and they come back out and they kick it out. The last one was the 8-1. I think it was against Minnesota or something like that. But today's game, when I did that, man, what a heck of a thing. That's what I love about this team. Dusty, if I'm on your wave, I'm on that boat, man. I got a first class ticket. I believe I'm VIP.
There you go, man.
But what I'm saying is like this is the scrappy team, you know. This is like they got a scrap to win, you know, because they don't have everything that every other team has got. They didn't get the money they got, you know. That's all I've got to say. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, you thank for the phone call, Brett. I appreciate it. Happy that you were at the game today, getting those tickets. No, sir, Crown Jewel, I'll be your first mate, KC Hunk. I'm going down with the ship. I'm going down with the band. I'm getting drunk with the violin players. I'm riding this thing down, baby. That said, there are some iceberg-sized holes in this ship. No doubt about it, man. This is baseball, man. But at least it's competitive baseball. Am I wrong? I mean, how many years in the past six or seven have we been starting this show off, Chris, where it's like, all right, what do you think we're going to see from Xavier Worthy to this year? We don't have to do that right now, and it's great. It's a beautiful thing.
I mean, we can. We
for
can.
Sure. I got to get into some Chief stuff.
But, yeah, the thing about this whole scenario is, like, you know, I was driving in here after I got off work, and you could, you know, listening to Vern, mm-hmm. you could hear it.
Like, oh, yeah.
Vern was very, very pissed about how the show went last night.
Did you hear his show last night?
I did not. I did not.
I need to go back and listen.
I need to go back and listen because clearly this was a thing. This was an event that happened, and I got to go listen to it because I know when Vern gets like that,
yeah,
like he starts dunking on people, it's fun to listen to.
But I heard him say something along the lines. He said, "You guys are saying some stupid stuff."
Yeah,
last
that's what
night.
He said. That's what I heard. I heard him say that. I was like, "Oh man," and like, yes, the last time I was in here, I produced a game, I think it was this past weekend,
mm-hmm.
and it was a lot of people saying stupid things on the text line. So right. I get it. And, you know, my thing is this, is like the expectations should not have changed after the first 2 months. Because if you watch baseball enough,
mm-hmm.
you know that there's a lot of teams out there that start the way that the Royals do, and then things kind of taper off. Because The Royals were a terrible baseball team a year ago. They were not good at all, and then they just made this really great turnaround here.
Uh-huh.
But there's a lot of times where we see teams have the kind of turnaround that the Royals have, and then it kind of tapers off as you get deeper into the summer just because it's really hard to be good at at baseball for 162 games.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people who were the part of that new money collective that came in 2014 that weren't there when the team had like Guillen and Gilmesh and, you know, they were out there with what was his name? Angel Baroa. Guys like they weren't around for those days.
Nah.
Those days they were Yankee fans. But then when the team got good, now all of a sudden they wanted to pretend to be Royals fans because it's easy to root for the hometown team. And those are the ones that are like jumping off the ship because the team was 500 after last night. And it's like, think about it. If you would have told me 3 months ago the Royals would be 500, I'd be like, everybody's excited and happy with what's happening, but because people changed their expectations, it created the situation you have now where you have a lot of those bandwagon fans all of a sudden starting to realize, oh, it's not going to be as easy as we thought it was when we hopped back on the bandwagon.
Yeah.
And so it's just like, if you are one of those people that swore the Royals off a week ago because of where they were going, if you swore them off last night after the game, don't get back on now.
Nah.
Like, keep your ass off the bandwagon.
Yeah, you can watch it.
Yeah.
You ain't got to stick around.
We don't need you here.
But all I can tell you is get that cocktail, whatever it is, apply the sunscreen. You got a long trip ahead.
Yeah, like, we don't need you on here. If you're not about it, if you're just going to jump off, stay off. You know, go out and float in the river. We'll pass you by as we keep floating along. But I don't think we should entertain any of that anymore. Like, if you're one of these people that's done with the team, then be done with the team. Don't be done with the team for 2 weeks and then try to get back on.
But I also want to know why, for a fact, you are done. Because I don't want to hear it's like, well, they've been playing well lately. I'm like, you realize that there are 80 games left.
The reason why they're done is because they were never really on in the first place. They just wanted to be there when things were nice. But they were the ones 5 years ago when the team was really struggling. I mean, really a year ago when they were struggling. They were the ones that weren't watching at all anyways. So those are the ones we don't need because they're not the ride or dies. They're the ones that just jumped on because things are looking nice.
Just enjoy it. Get you a cocktail. Get on the east side of the deck. Tonight we party on the starboard side. I don't even know if that's left or right, but it doesn't matter. This is After Hours on 610 Sports Radio. Coming up on the other side, not only are the Royals doing great for this season as opposed to the last few seasons, they might be in the toughest division in the entire Major League Baseball organization. I'll explain on the other side. Chris Nocero, Dusty Likens. This is After Hours.
You're listening to After Hours with Dusty Likens on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app. Brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views.
Why you got to fight with people, man? Just always got to fight. Not me.
You're talking about me?
Yeah, who else is here with us right now?
He said that. He acted like bad teams don't beat good teams in baseball. Like, if they would have said the series, that made more sense.
Yeah. I just think a lot of people...
Losing to bad teams. Like, it happens all the time. The Royals beat good teams last year when they were terrible. Like, if you're talking about the series, that makes more sense. Like, it makes 100 more sense. Do you want to say, if they would have lost the series, that's a bad look? Because that would have been a bad look. Mm. But losing a game to them, that's baseball. Like, go through the 2023 Royals schedule. They beat good teams all the time. They just didn't win. They just didn't beat them in series very often.
They also never got their ass kicked by the Marlins.
Yeah, they didn't. Yeah, they didn't.
I mean, really, and I know this is probably a homer take, they really have only gotten their ass kicked twice in the last month, and that was those two games in the middle of that four-game series against the Yankees.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I can go back and look at scores, but I don't think I have to. I think I've watched almost every game, and I think I'm pretty sure. But, I mean, again, yeah. That's why the cruise ship works, right? And I think that's what, you know, we get kind of not tunnel vision, but I think we're okay to do this as sports fans, right? Like, let me be honest with you. After you watch Mahomes' first three games in the league, as a starter, where did your expectations go?
I was like
this team gets to the Super Bowl with that quarterback talent, right? Immediately.
Like, after, because like his third game was against the Steelers, he threw 6 touchdowns.
Yeah.
At that point, it's like, okay, the Chiefs got a guy they could possibly win a Super Bowl with.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was almost immediate. And before the season had started, expectations were like, well, let's see what the new kid can do. We know he's got some special talents. Let's just try to be a playoff team, maybe. And try to handle things in the division because they hadn't won, you know, the division since what? Denver had won it all those years in a row. Alex Smith had given you so much depression in the playoffs because you gotten so close. And then here comes this kid. And three games in, you're like, oh, no. This is how you use Tyreek Hill. Okay, that makes a lot of sense. Look out. And they were. They were an overtime away from going to the Super Bowl in his first year as a starter. And the rest is history. And the reason I say that is because there's a lot of times in football seasons where right now your expectations for the Chiefs maybe is a terrible analogy, but you expect them to go to the Super Bowl next year. Like, there's just, as long as there's Andy and Patrick and Travis and company, every year you're in that category. But there are other teams, right, that are hoping for a turn of events. And once they turn quicker than they thought they could, their expectations go higher. I look at you, Houston Texans fans, last year. Like, you saw a couple C.J. Stroud games. You went, hey, Terry, you see this kid at quarterback? We might be better than we thought. We said we just want to go one game over 500, go 9-8. We might win the South. And the Royals this year, you told yourself, competitive baseball deep into summer. My goal was that I want to go to St. Joe on a Saturday or a Sunday. And the first show there, which would be the first practice there, we lead with Royals baseball. And I know there's a lot of you that roll your eyes. You're like, yes, Dusty, we've heard this before. But that was where my expectations were. Never once did I say, I would think this team could be a playoff team. Never did I say. I just said, be competitive up to training camp. I also love baseball, and I want to be able to be excited to go home. I'm excited tomorrow to watch presidential debate on one TV and Royals baseball with the volume on the other TV during commercials. Sorry, Spec. That's as political as I'll get. I'm just telling you my schedule. Probably ought to cool it. Anyways.
Yeah, you're going to get a text message.
Probably. But I can watch them and tell people my future. But the other thing, too, is that we also didn't expect, maybe I am in the wrong here, maybe you're in the right. Did anybody expect Cleveland Guardians to be the best team in baseball as of July or June 27th? Is that what date it is? 26? 26th. I didn't see Cleveland being better than the Yankees, Baltimore, the Red Sox, the Dodgers. That list goes on forever, baby. Snuffy, Ale, Leo, little mole with the gippy leg, Cliff. That's from Home Alone 2. But I didn't see Cleveland, let alone did I see the American League Central being either the best or the second best division in all of baseball. That's not a lie. The best team in baseball is from the AL Central. Minnesota and Kansas City are both neck and neck in that division. 43-36 is Minnesota. They lose tonight. The Royals go above them. The Royals 44-38. The AL East is the argument you could be had of the better division in baseball. The Yankees sit at the top at 52-29. Baltimore is 49-30. Those two teams are probably the next two best teams in the American League behind the Cleveland Guardians. And then the Red Sox are 43-47. Kansas City's got more wins than them. If Minnesota wins tonight, they have more wins than them. Tampa Bay's below 500. Toronto's a dumpster fire. The AL West is just Seattle and now Houston, who's clawed their way up to 40-40 at a 500 record. And then there's no division in the NL that really sniffs a chance at the AL Central. So, yes, expectations can be play competitive baseball and show me that you can contain it and sustain it. But the other thing about this, too, is that I also didn't expect the AL Central to be this great division, because I didn't expect the Royals to be 44-38 June 26th. I didn't expect Cleveland to be 51-26 and Minnesota being right there neck and neck with the Royals. Everyone had Minnesota being second in division. But I don't know if anybody had Cleveland being the best team in baseball percentage-wise is why. You can hear their records and be like, wait a minute, you said the Yankees have 52 wins, Cleveland has 51. Cleveland has a 6.62 winning percentage. New York has a 6.42. And currently the Cleveland Guardians are tied with the Baltimore Orioles. So I do think it's okay for you to loosen your expectations. To drastically change them is one thing. To date someone for 2 weeks and have a great honeymoon phase and be like, we're getting married. That's you drastically changing your expectations. Because what happened at the start of, we'll go on a couple dates, we'll see what happens, we'll have a little fun. If it goes from there, we'll go from there. That's how this baseball season is, right? Be competitive. Have a good summer. They're doing all of that. To give up? To give up because they had a you know, rough stretch. Like, what's the one thing we all argue about why we hate baseball? It's too long of a season. Why do we all of a sudden forget that? Recency bias can kill you as a fan. Remember, you took 2 out of 3 from Miami. You have a huge series against the Cleveland Guardians coming up Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Bo Jackson Hall of Fame inductance ceremony on Saturday. Cole Reagan's iced out bobblehead. I don't really understand that, but that's what it is. And then I think Friday you get fireworks. Thursday you get nice weather. But I am going to say this, when it comes to expectations, what are your expectations against Cleveland? 2 out of 4? Or is this time in the season where you got to take 3 out of 4 at home?
I think
because I don't want to talk out of both sides of my mouth.
Right. I think if you walk out 2-2, you're happy. It's not the ideal situation. You'd like to take 3
for
so
sure
that you can eat into that lead, because they got it's a pretty big ass lead the Guardians got over the
9.5.
over the Royals in the division race. But yeah. I think you're happy with 2-2. I think at this point now, if you're a Royals fan, as long as they stay in the wild card race, as long as they stay competitive there, you're happy. I don't think this is the 14 team. I know a lot of people are hoping that it's the 14 team.
A lot of us thought it was the 13 team.
Yeah, and I think that's a fair expectation, because that 13 team, they gave us some excitement. We certainly had a little bit of hope, but they fell short. But at that point, they gave us something to cheer for that we hadn't been able to cheer for in over a decade. Now we're at a point where we need to just stay competitive. Mm-hmm. Like, as long as the Royals stay competitive, I think most of the people that know this game and are about it will understand that that's a great jump from having one of the worst seasons you've ever had in franchise history the year before. And you didn't, like, it's not like the Royals went out there and got a Shohei Ohtani. Mm-hmm. It's not like, I mean, they did improve their pitching rotation, but most of the money was spent in-house when they gave that money to Bobby Witt Jr. And so for them, it was more so about having guys who were already on your roster take that next step forward. Right. Guys like MJ, guys like Vinny. You hope that some of the other guys on the roster end up taking that step forward here in the near future. But that's really what this was about. Hey, let's get some guys to help stabilize some weaknesses, but we need some of these guys to make that jump forward and get to that next level of play. And some of those guys started to do that. I mean, we've kind of seen up and down from Vinny. MJ's kind of given us some hope, but, you know, right now he's still trying to dig himself out of the depths. But, like, I just don't the problem I had was that if you look a month ago when they were out there bashing the Rays down in Tampa, I think that changed some people's mindset. And they thought, oh, this team might go to the World Series. Mm-hmm. When they should have just stuck with the original game plan, which is, let's just hope that they're competitive and they give us something to watch. Because at the beginning of the year, I like subscribed to the Bally Sports app, and I was like, the minute that they start sucking, done.
Yeah.
Like, I'm canceling it. I'm done. It's not a good app. I wish I could cancel it. I wish I could just watch the games on YouTube TV, but I can't. It is
right.
What it is.
Yeah.
But I mean, they are giving me a reason to continue to subscribe to it, because they are winning games and they're fun to watch right now.
And I think their biggest losing streak is 3 games.
Yes. Like
they got swept by Texas.
Yeah.
They came back and beat Miami.
Yeah.
They leaned on their ace, who had, what, 26 swing and misses, just the most in the MLB this season, which is dominant.
Yeah.
Which is what you like to see in a time of adversity.
Yeah.
And then last night's game, somewhat of an anomaly, but the bullpen gave it up. Seth Lugo was great. And then today, Singer goes late into the game, does great. Your lineup pops at the very end.
And your lineup's been struggling here for the last couple weeks. You haven't been getting the same offense here. But it's like, we expected that they were going to go through some sort of struggles with their lineup, because they've been struggling with their lineup for years. And, you know, maybe there's some guys down in the minors that can help them out. Guys like Cross. Maybe Drew Waters can help them. You know, we'll see. But, like, they've got some guys. You know, there's at least a little bit of hope there. Maybe they can make a move. Like, let's say, you know, they barely miss out on the playoffs this year. Like, maybe they go get another bat for the outfield or something. I mean, there's options here. But, like, I think at this point, as long as they stay competitive, like, if you changed your hopes, if you changed your goals and, you know, at the end of May,
it's a gamble you take.
That's on you, man. Like, that's not the Royals' fault. That's on you. Because the Royals are who they are. And right now, they're showing us the last couple weeks that This is who they are too. Like what they showed at the end of May is great. That's part of who they are. But what they're showing now is who they are too. They're a team that's going to be up and down. They're going to team that's going to struggle, and you know, freaking out over one loss, freaking out over a couple of bad weeks, I think is a little ridiculous.
They got shut out twice against Texas. That's getting their ass kicked from the 816.
Oh well.
Okay.
It's baseball.
The lifeboat's on the side of the boat today if you want to get off on that that boat there, 816.
Yeah, get over it. Like
if, I like people like this. The Royals. Go ahead.
If you've watched baseball long enough, there were some games in 15 where you're like, how the hell did the Royals lose to that team?
Yeah.
There were some games like that. Like how they lose that series to that team, mm-hmm. you know? Like in 14 and 15, you remember, actually it was 15, they didn't quite struggle as much. But in 14, the Royals struggled against the Tigers. Right. Like the Tigers, and we were all sitting there rooting for them to not have to play the Tigers. Mm. And I think the Orioles are the ones that took them out that year. Like this is just how the game works. Some teams are good matchups against you. Some teams are not. But like freaking out over a couple weeks when they're still over 500 after those couple weeks is just absolutely ridiculous. And the fans I was seeing on Twitter today, I'm just like, dude, breathe. Like if this sport isn't for you, if you can't handle the anxiety of the grind, find something else, man.
Which is the irony in all of it, because the reason that you're there is because you're bought into it, which is fine. That's what summer is. Let's have some fun.
Yeah, have some fun, dude. Enjoy the game.
Have a Cutwater.
You have a team that's six games over 500. Enjoy it.
Get a charcuterie board. They're pretty good.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan.
Especially when they got smoked Gouda on
it. I'm not a big fan of charcuterie.
Coming up on the other side, I got to get into Hollywood and Hallmark because there's a certain situation. Not only that, but man, I think this relationship between these two just absolute icons of America has stepped up to another level. I'll explain what I mean here on After Hours on 610 Sports Radio.
You're listening to After Hours with Dusty Likens on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app. Brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views.
I did like this text from the 785. The Royals most likely are not making the playoffs this year, in my opinion. Even with that opinion, this season is a total success, and I'm absolutely thrilled about the future. If they do make the playoffs, even losing the wild card playing game, it would still be a cherry on top, having already a great season. There you go.
That's perfectly reasonable.
Yeah,
I think that is one of the most well-reasoned takes we have had on baseball discourse in the days I've been in here during this.
Well,
that is a great take. Like, here's my thing. Is like I'm not invested on if they make the playoffs or not. Mm. If they don't make the playoffs, fine. I just want them to be competitive throughout the summer. If September happens and they fall short and they just miss out on a wild card spot, that's fine. Like, that's okay, because you know what? All I wanted them to do was be good this year.
Yeah.
All I wanted them to do was just be competitive and actually give us something to cheer for once we get close to football season. And right now, it looks like they're going to do that.
Chris, I know the answer to this, but there's no way. There is the new Hallmark movie coming out, right?
Yeah, you know the answer to this question.
Neither one of us are going to watch it.
Yeah, you know what? Actually, I guarantee my girlfriend's going to want to watch it.
That's fair.
So I'm probably going to check it out a little bit just to see how bad it is.
Or maybe it's a night, you know, you're out doing something, right? And it just so happens, she has nothing to do. She stayed home.
Oh, no. She's going to want us to watch.
Okay.
That's going to be one. She might watch it first and then try to watch it again, but I'm probably going to see it.
See, I just...
My girlfriend loves those Hallmark movies.
Oh, yeah.
She like counts the number of movies that she watches during the Christmas season.
That's one thing I do not miss about my relationship.
Yeah,
I had to watch season one of Virgin River on Netflix.
Oh, I don't watch most of the stuff that she watches because she watches like Real Housewives of Atlanta and stuff.
Chance.
Love and Hip Hop.
No chance.
Like, there's some stuff I'll check out. Like, I watched Seinfeld for the first time. A month ago, it wasn't that funny.
Yeah,
but like, you know, I watched it. The writing's really good. It's just not that funny.
It's not yours. It's not your.
It's
thing.
Not for me. It's not for me. Like,
yeah,
I like Martin and you know Wayne's Brothers and
because apparently you can apply to be in this movie.
Yeah,
you can, and the because we were listening to old Danny Winebaum over there. I tried to find the audio. I think you can go to KMBZ's website if you're looking to apply. You have to send in, I believe, two headshots and you have to know how to roller skate.
Cody's definitely going to try to get
I think he
movie.
Already did.
Yes, he's definitely
I think that's what they talked about today
Cody's
on the show.
100% going to try to get in this movie.
Yeah. Cody gives me the vibe he'd be like her cousin.
Cody, he would be, Cody would be like the person that looks directly at the camera as an extra.
Mm.
Like he would be, it'd be the scene like he's skating and then he looks over at the camera, tries to do a trick.
Pause the screen. There
yeah,
I am.
Yeah. Yeah. He's 100% that guy.
I have no interest in this.
I don't either.
But I do find it very, because we talk about expectations with that first couple segments of Royals. Look, I'll be honest with you. We are now what I would consider at a full year of TK and TS in full dating situation. Because a lot of us had the theory that they were dating when camp started.
Maybe.
I think that was like what a lot of people were thinking, that they kind of like.
That might have been in the talking phase.
Because she came in town July like 6th last year or something like that.
I think it was
she
like was, middle. It was like middle July.
I thought it was early.
Yeah, I thought maybe it was. It was like it was sometime in the first half of
before
July.
Before camp started.
Yes.
And so camp now is 1 month away. I believe first day of camp is the 27th of July.
Yeah.
And I never would have thought that we would have gotten to this point. I'll be honest with you. I am completely flabbergasted. And there's two things of recent that have done it to me. Number one, when I saw the announcement, you get the same emails I get, Chris. And when Chiefs PR sends out...
I didn't get the Chiefs PR.
Oh, you
PR.
Didn't? Okay, I'm sorry.
I'm not on the Chiefs PR thing. Well, I haven't signed up for it.
Okay.
I need to sign up for it.
And they sent that, and I saw this Hallmark holiday touchdown classic, whatever it's called. I thought to myself, my God.
You know.
I'm like, we are here.
It's going to be bad.
We're going to have a green cardigan. There's going to be a man with blonde hair and blue eyes. There's going to be a amber-haired woman who just left her husband and moved back to a small town. And here's this guy that's friends with Cody Tapp, who for some reason knows how to rollerblade, which I've yet to put those two together.
Cody Tapp definitely knows how to rollerblade.
1,000%.
100%.
And knows at least three moves.
Definitely knows how to spin. He can go backwards.
Yeah. And he can go backwards. He can do the leg, the yeah. stiff leg now.
Yeah, he can go backwards. Yeah, he knows all the. He was at Skateland.
And
for
then
sure.
The other thing that I didn't think we'd ever get to is the absolute bona fide, dignified, solidified trust that this superstar of a female has in her boyfriend in Travis Kelce. And if you don't know what I mean, I'm sure you saw the video that went viral over the weekend. That man was in a top hat, in a suit, on a stage in Wembley Stadium, one of the greatest stadiums in the world, one of the biggest, I believe, venues, very well known, and was a part of the act. That's trust. Because we know Kelce can somewhat act for the situation that he's thrown into, right? Sketch comedy. If it fails, it's great. If he nails it, even better. Here's the Eras Tour, pure summer, London, England, and he's out here dancing and carrying her away. That lets me believe the trust in her for him is through the roof. And I couldn't tell you where this thing goes from now. Because I don't know how you top last year. Like, last year, like, you had everybody hating her because she was swag surfing. You had everybody hating her because she wore a jersey that was made into a jacket that went popular. They didn't like her because she was hanging out with certain people. They didn't like it because the Chiefs had Taylor. Now you got a Hallmark movie, which is, no doubt about it, somewhat related. Because it's a love story, I believe is what it's called.
Everyone is a love story. And are you talking about the name of it?
It's called like a Christmas love story or a football love story.
That's like half the Hallmark movies anyways. It's
and
like
there's
going to
be two different Chiefs shots in the movie. There's going to be a stadium shot.
100%.
And after that, there's going to be like a generic red and white football jersey of a team playing that's going to look and supposed to be the Chiefs. Because Dan Weinbaum let us know it's... What do you say the script was? A guy that's a super fan and she's trying to become
remember.
A super fan?
I'm not that invested in the plot. I just know that in all likelihood, Kelce and maybe even Mahomes will make cameos. Wouldn't be shocked if Andy made a cameo. Just like, you know, said something about a cheeseburger and then kept it moving, like, yeah, that wouldn't shock me either. Yeah, like, there's definitely going to be a shot where, like, Arrowhead is lit up really cool, and then they're going to give, like, tours at night at Arrowhead, and they're going to do that exact same shot because so many people are going to request it. Like, that's going to happen for sure, but, I mean, it doesn't do anything for me, but the people that like the Hallmark movies and that are Chiefs fans or Taylor Swift fans or
what are we
going to
do on Saturday night, huh? We got the game tomorrow at the Clark's house. What are you going to do tonight? Well, that Chiefs holiday, it's not a Chiefs Hallmark, but maybe it is. Boy, I feel bad for you, Chris. You're going to have to watch that thing.
I'm probably going to have to watch mm-hmm. it. Yeah.
You better hope to God there's some great college football game you got on the tablet.
There's definitely probably going to be like some sort of sporting event that's paired with that on my iPad for sure.
Somebody said all three hosts applied for the show.
That makes sense.
Drew going to get that spot.
Drew's probably not. I think it's going to be Cody. Cody's enthusiastic.
Yeah, Cody's got the riz.
Yeah, Cody's enthusiastic, and I think the enthusiasm is going to win the Hallmark people over.
Somebody says fake Andy already got the role.
Makes sense.
Yeah,
it makes but
somehow Stone Street, that's like below Stone Street's pay grade, though, so he ain't gonna fall into that movie.
Stone Street's not gonna be in that film. Stone Street got more important things to do than starring a Hallmark
somebody
film.
Says Virgin River is rough, let me tell you, daddy.
They are now starting to get like actors and singers who were big like 20 years ago. Yeah. Like I saw, like, I think it was Toni Braxton in one of those films. The short face was like all Botoxed up and whatnot.
She had me at Unbreak My Heart in that video.
Yeah, no, she's different now. It's a little different now.
I still give her a dance.
They had Michael J. White in one of them. Mm.
Like, you know what'd be great is if the lead role was Taylor's ex-boyfriend that's from, like, England.
That'll never happen.
Nah, she has that'll no
never,
royalty
That'll never happen. She will nix that right there. Mm. Nah, that'll never happen.
Guardians are up 2-1 on the Baltimore Orioles in the bottom of the fifth, in case you were wondering. Coming up on the other side, this guy sucks. It'll be a short segment, I promise, because this guy deserves to be blasted on the airwaves. I'm Dusty Likens. That's Chris Lucero. This is After Hours.
You're listening to After Hours with Dusty Likens on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app. Brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views.
Back here on After Hours. 913-586-7610. Short topic here. We don't really care about the clock. We can always catch up. We know what we're doing.
We never pay attention to the clock. I go over all the time.
Yeah, it'll be all right. We know what we're doing. We've both done enough on both sides of the glass. We can get we'll be out of here and hit the legal ID at 9 o'clock, 8:59, 50
or whenever it fires, because sometimes it fires weird.
Man, NBA draft getting ready to start. I do want to bring this up, Chris, because I feel like we would both be on the same side of this opinion of the one that I'm about to have. Because one, we share the rundown, but also
long enough. There were some games in 15 where you're like, how the hell did the Royals lose to that team?
Yeah.
There were some games like that. Like, how they lose that series to that team, mm-hmm. you know? Like, in 14 and 15, you remember, actually it was 15, they didn't quite struggle as much. But in 14, the Royals struggled against the Tigers. Right. Like, and we were all sitting there rooting for them to not have to play the Tigers. Mm-hmm. And I think the Orioles are the ones that took them out that year. Like, this is just how the game works. Some teams are good matchups against you. Some teams are not. But, like, freaking out over a couple weeks when they're still over 500 after those couple weeks is just absolutely ridiculous. And the fans I was seeing on Twitter today, I'm just like, dude, breathe. Like, if this sport isn't for you, if you can't handle the anxiety of the grind, find something else, man.
Which is the irony in all of it, because the reason that you're there is because you're bought into it, which is fine. That's what summer is. Let's have some fun.
Yeah, have some fun, dude. Enjoy the game.
Have a Cutwater.
You have a team that's six games over 500. Enjoy it.
Get a charcuterie board. They're pretty good.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan.
Especially when they got smoked Gouda on
it. I'm not a big fan of charcuterie.
Coming up on the other side, I got to get into Hollywood and Hallmark, because there's a certain situation. Not only that, but man, I think this relationship between these two just absolute icons of America has stepped up to another level. I'll explain what I mean here on After Hours on 610 Sports Radio.
You're listening to After Hours with Dusty Likens on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app. Brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views.
I did like this text from the 785. The Royals most likely are not making the playoffs this year, in my opinion. Even with that opinion, this season is a total success, and I'm absolutely thrilled about the future. if they do make the playoffs, even losing the wild card playing game, it would still be a cherry on top. Having already a great season. There you go.
That's perfectly reasonable.
Yeah,
I think that is one of the most well reasoned takes we have had on baseball discourse in the days I've been in here during this.
Well,
that's a great take. Like, here's my thing is like I'm not invested on if they make the playoffs or not. Mm. If they don't make the playoffs, fine. I just want them to be competitive throughout the summer. If September happens and they fall short and they just miss out on a wild card spot, that's fine. Like, that's okay, because you know what? All I wanted them to do was be good this year.
Yeah.
All I wanted them to do was just be competitive and actually give us something to cheer for once we get close to football season. And right now, it looks like they're going to do that.
Chris, I know the answer to this, but there's no way. There is the new Hallmark movie coming out, right?
Yeah, you know the answer to this question.
Neither one of us are going to watch it.
Yeah, it's, you know what? Actually, I guarantee my girlfriend's going to want to watch it.
That's fair.
So I'm probably going to check it out a little bit just to see how bad it is.
Or maybe it's a night, you know, you're out doing something, right? And it just so happens, she has nothing to do. She stayed home.
Oh, no. She's going to want us to watch.
Okay.
That's going to be one. She might watch it first and then try to watch it again, but I'm probably going to see it.
See, I just...
My girlfriend loves those Hallmark movies.
Oh, yeah.
She loves...
Oh, yeah.
She like, counts the number of movies that she watches during the Christmas season.
That's one thing I do not miss about my relationship.
Yeah,
I had to watch season one of Virgin River on Netflix.
Oh, I don't watch most of the stuff that she watches, because she watches, like, Real Housewives of Atlanta and
no
stuff.
Chance.
Love and Hip Hop.
No chance.
Like, there's some stuff I'll check out. Like, I watched Seinfeld for the first time. A month ago, it wasn't that funny.
Yeah,
but like, you know, I watched it. Hey, the writing's really good. It's just not that funny.
It's not yours. It's not your.
It's
thing.
Not for me. It's not for me. Like,
yeah,
I like Martin and, you know, Wayne's Brothers and
because apparently you can apply to be in this movie.
Yeah,
you can, and the because we were listening to old Danny Weinbaum over there. I tried to find the audio. I think you can go to KMBZ's website if you're looking to apply. You have to send in, I believe, 2 headshots, and you have to know how to roller skate.
Cody's definitely going to try to get
I think he
movie.
Already did.
Yeah, he's definitely trying
I think that's what they talked about today
Cody's
on the show.
100% going to try to get in this movie.
Yeah. Cody gives me the vibe he'd be like her cousin.
Cody, he would be... Cody would be like the person that looks directly at the camera as an extra.
Mm.
Like it'd be the scene like he's skating and then he looks over at the camera, tries to do a trick.
Pause the screen. There
I
am.
Yeah. Yeah. He's 100% that guy.
I have no interest in this.
I don't either.
But I do find it very, because we talk about expectations with that first couple segments of Royals. Look, I'll be honest with you. We are now what I would consider at a full year of TK and TS in full dating situation. Because a lot of us had the theory that they were dating when camp started.
Maybe.
I think that was like what a lot of people were thinking, that they kind of like...
That might have been in the talking phase.
Because she came in town July like 6th last year or something like that.
I think it was
she
like was, middle. It was like middle July.
I thought it was early.
Yeah, I thought maybe it was. It was like, it was sometime in the first half of
before
July.
Before camp started.
Yes.
And so camp now is 1 month away. I believe first day of camp is the 27th of July.
Yeah.
And I never would have thought that we would have gotten to this point. I'll be honest with you. I am completely flabbergasted. And there's 2 things of recent that have done it to me. Number one, when I saw the announcement, and you get the same emails I get, Chris. And when Chiefs PR sends out...
I didn't get the Chiefs PR.
Oh, you
PR.
Didn't? Okay, I'm sorry.
I'm not on the Chiefs PR thing.
Well,
I haven't signed up for it.
Okay.
I need to sign up for it.
And they sent that, and I saw this Hallmark holiday touchdown classic, whatever it's called. I thought to myself, my God.
You know.
I'm like, we are here.
It's going to be bad.
We're going to have a green cardigan. There's going to be a man with blonde hair and blue eyes. There's going to be a... amber-haired woman who just left her husband and moved back to a small town. And here's this guy that's friends with Cody Tapp, who for some reason knows how to rollerblade, which I've yet to put those two together.
Tony Tapp definitely knows how to rollerblade.
1,000%.
100%.
And knows at least three moves.
Definitely knows how to spin. He can go backwards.
Yeah. And he can do the stiff leg now.
Yeah, he can go backwards. Yeah, he knows all the. He was at Skateland.
And
for sure.
The other thing that I didn't think we'd ever get to is the absolute bona fide, dignified, solidified trust that this superstar of a female has in her boyfriend in Travis Kelce. And if you don't know what I mean, I'm sure you saw the video that went viral over the weekend. That man was in a top hat, in a suit, on a stage in Wembley Stadium, one of the greatest stadiums in the world, one of the biggest, I believe, venues, very well known, and was a part of the act. That's trust. Because we know Kelce can somewhat act for the situation that he's thrown into, right? Sketch comedy. If it fails, it's great. If he nails it, even better. Here's the Eras Tour, pure summer, London, England, and he's out here dancing and carrying her away. That lets me believe the trust in her for him is through the roof. And I couldn't tell you where this thing goes from now. Because I don't know how you top last year. Like, last year, like, you had everybody hating her because she was swag surfing. You had everybody hating her because she wore a jersey that was made into a jacket that went popular. They didn't like her because she was hanging out with certain people. They didn't like it because the Chiefs had Taylor. Now you got a Hallmark movie, which is, no doubt about it, somewhat related. Because it's a love story, I believe is what it's called.
Everyone is a love story. And are you talking about the name of it?
It's called like a Christmas love story or a football love story.
That's like half the Hallmark movies anyways.
And there's going to be two different Chiefs shots in the movie. There's going to be a stadium shot.
100%.
And after that, there's going to be like a generic red and white football jersey of a team playing that's going to look and supposed to be the Chiefs. Because Dan Weinbaum let us know it's... What do you say the script was? A guy that's a super fan and she's trying to become
remember.
A super
fan? I'm not that invested in the plot. I just know that in all likelihood, Kelce and maybe even Mahomes will make cameos. Wouldn't be shocked if Andy made a cameo. Just like, you know, said something about a cheeseburger and then kept it moving. Like, that wouldn't shock me either. Yeah, like... There's definitely going to be a shot where like Arrowhead is lit up really cool, and then they're going to give like tours at night at Arrowhead, and they're going to do that exact same shot because so many people are going to request it. Like, that's going to happen for sure. But I mean, it doesn't do anything for me, but the people that like the Hallmark movies and that are Chiefs fans or Taylor Swift fans or
what are we
going to
do on Saturday night, huh? We got the game tomorrow at the Clark's house. What are you going to do tonight? Well, that Chiefs holiday, it's not a Chiefs Hallmark, but maybe it is. Boy, I feel bad for you, Chris. You're going to have to watch that thing.
I'm probably going to have to watch mm-hmm. it. Yeah.
You better hope to God there's some great college football game you got on the tablet.
There's definitely probably going to be like some sort of sporting event that's paired with that on my iPad for sure.
Somebody said all three hosts applied for the show.
That makes sense.
Drew going to get that spot.
Drew's probably not. I think it's going to be Cody. Cody's enthusiastic.
Yeah, Cody's got the riz.
Yeah, Cody's enthusiastic. And I think the enthusiasm is going to win the Hallmark people over.
Somebody says fake Andy already got the role.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Stone
Street. That's like below Stone Street's pay grade, though. So he ain't going to fall into that movie.
Yeah, Stone Street's not going to be in that film. Stone Street got more important things to do than starring a Hallmark film.
Somebody says Virgin River is rough. Let me tell you, Daddy.
They are now starting to get like actors and singers who were big like 20 years ago. Yeah. Like I saw like, I think it was Toni Braxton in one of those films. Her face was like all Botoxed up and whatnot.
She had me at Unbreak My Heart in that video.
Yeah, no, she's different now. It's a little different now.
I still give her a dance.
They had Michael J. White in one of them. Mm.
Like, you know what'd be great is if the lead role was Taylor's ex-boyfriend that's from like England.
That'll never happen.
Nah, she has that'll no
never,
royalty.
That'll
in this.
Never happen. She will nix that right there. Mm. Nah, that'll never happen.
Guardians are up 2-1 on the Baltimore Orioles in the bottom of the fifth, in case you were wondering. Coming up on the other side, this guy sucks. It'll be a short segment, I promise, because this guy deserves to be blasted on the airwaves. I'm Dusty Likens. That's Chris Unicero. This is After Hours.
You're listening to After Hours with Dusty Likens on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app. Brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views.
Back here on After Hours. 913-586-7610. Short topic here. We don't really care about the clock. We can always catch up. We know what we're doing.
We never pay attention to the clock. I go over all the time.
Yeah, it'll be all right. We know what we're doing. We've both done enough on both sides of the glass. We can get we'll be out of here and hit the legal ID at 9 o'clock, 8:59, 8:59, 50
or whenever it fires, because sometimes it fires weird.
Man, NBA draft getting ready to start. I do want to bring this up, Chris, because I feel like we would both be on the same side of this opinion of the one that I'm about to have. Because one, we share the rundown, but also, like, why do people, athletes and coaches, continue to do stuff like this?
Coach, with respect to the difficult outcome tonight, but with the rumors circulating today about a specific job opening, what do you have to say about your future in Aggieland?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's pretty selfish of you to ask me that question, to be honest with you. But I left my family to be the coach at Texas A&M. I took the job at Texas A&M to never take another job again. And that hasn't changed in my mind. That's unfair to talk about something like that. That'd be like you asking Montgomery if he's going to sign in the draft. But I understand you got to ask the question, but I gave up a big part of my life to come take this job, and I've poured every ounce of my soul in this job, and I've given this job every single ounce I can possibly give it. So write that.
Coach, thank you very much.
Selfish.
Why do people continue to do this? Because less than like 24 hours later, that man left that school, humiliate this kid or reporter asking the question. Now, I know that there are athletes that have come around and said, you know, it doesn't merit a time to ask Andy Reid if this is his last season, right? Like, let other Florio type of people lead with that. Legit question. Is it a tough question? Sure. Just lost in the College World Series to Rocky Top. But to say that's a selfish question, say that you left your family to take this job, poured your blood, sweat, and tears into this job just to leave 24 hours later, leads me to two conclusions. One, you're insecure. And two, you knew you were leaving anyway. And that's just one of those responses where I think that guy blacked out and took out all his frustration losing in a World Series championship game collegiately and just decided to pour everything onto this reporter. But this isn't the only time we've seen this. Wasn't there an A&M coach that just did it for football?
Oh, I think it was, I think Jimbo Fisher left Florida State for A&M.
For A&M.
And he got a lot of criticism.
He was like, I'm not leaving Florida State.
That whenever you see the coach and that's the vehemently shoot down rumors of them leaving when it's right there, it almost always happens. And like, almost always happens.
And for you Kansas fans, didn't Roy Williams kind of do the same thing?
Yeah, he did.
I'm not leaving these kids.
Back when I was a Kansas fan, I was pissed at Roy.
I love these kids.
And then he dipped for Chapel Hill.
And he came up with a speech like, I'm Carolina bred, I'll be Carolina when I'm dead, or something like that.
Like, here's my...
Just say no comment!
That's what I'm saying. It's like, I understand, but like, that's A&M's rival.
Ugh.
And he knew that teammates were going to be pissed. That's their big rival right there. So I understand why he was... But like, just say no comment. Say that you're focused more on the game you just lost. Like whenever I hear these coaches try to embarrass a reporter in those situations, like, you know it's going to come back to bite you. And here's the thing about it, that because I don't remember the dude's name, he's got a weird ass name,
sure,
but like, if he doesn't work, if things don't work in Texas, people are going to laugh at his ass,
right?
Because he had a nice little program over there at A&M, like, they had a nice record this year, went to the College World Series.
I'm not leaving. What a selfish question.
And then you go out there, you say that, and then you leave the next day, and you put out a weak apology today about it. And then you're going to go out here and act like the apology was like more, oh, it was just after the game and all that. And I'm sorry. It was weak. It was real weak. And, you know, he deserves to get dragged for it.
He should. That guy's a bag. Stop doing that. If they ask you the question that you don't want to answer, you feel you're going to get, take a deep breath. I appreciate the question, but at this time I have no comment. Okay, thank you very much. Oh, he didn't answer because he ended up taking the job. That's better than how he answered and then took the job.
Yep, next question. That's all you got
to
say.
Next thing you know, he's going to go to Texas and have a southern accent like Brian Kelly.
Yeah, he's gonna pull
it. Y'all are my family.
He's going to start talking like he's from the South now.
Anything, he left A&M for that weird cult of cheerleaders they have that do that stuff before football games.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah.
We got to get to a break on the other side. It's that NBA draft talk, baby. It's coming up at the top of the hour. This is After Hours on 610 Sports Radio.
You're listening to After Hours with Dusty Likens on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app. Brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views.